Today's Shiur's Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shurim, we had discussed the issue of Asmachta. The example that was given where the Loiva made up with the Malva that if he doesn't pay up his debt within 3 years, he will give him a piece of property. And the Malva, based on that agreement, had taken that property and eaten the payers of that property because he was confident that this was a legitimate agreement. And now the Loiva learns, as we've been learning, that a smachta loikanya, said Allah is hada arav hada peri. As these 3 years come to an end, the Malva has to give back the property and also has to give back all of the payers that he had eaten in those 3 years. Even though the Malva was well aware of that the Loiva was eating these payers, the fact that he was aware of it and didn't say anything was all based on a mistake. And since it was based on a mistake, that's why the halacha is that he is entitled to get it back, says the Gemara, Lememra. So what we have essentially just learned is the Sav Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman's opinion is the Mechila Betos Lava Mechila, that this Mechila that was made in error is not considered a valid Mechila, and therefore the fact that the Loiva had given up and allowed him to be there is irrelevant. Ask the Gemara, Be'etma, have we not learned how much a Paris Dekel, Chaveroi, if somebody sells all the fruit of a palm tree to someone else, and that sale, of course, is not a valid sale because it's a dovah shloi b'loilim. That produce has not yet come to the world. So again, if the fruit has not yet come to the world, yachol lachsabai, both the buyer and the seller could walk away from the deal. But once the payers have come, neither of them can walk away. Rav Nachman holds, Ab Mishabola Oilam, even after those payers come out, because it wasn't a valid kinyan, because the kinyan took place on a Dovash Lobal Oilam, and we're learning here and now that a kinyan on a Dovash Lobal Oilam is not considered a valid kinyan. Vam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Maidina, however, I do agree to Rav Huna, the Shomet V'Ochel, had the buyer taken some of those fruits and eaten them, since the seller allowed this to happen and didn't say anything, it's considered a valid mechila. Now, even though, if we think about it, as we've been learning, it's a mechila betos. It was a mechila that was made an error. So we see that Rav Nachman's opinion is that a mechila that's done a mistake, have a mechila. It's still considered a mechila, and that's why, in this case, the meicher doesn't have to return those fruits that he ate, even though they were from a transaction of a davar shaloi b'la'olam. Answers the Gemara, we can't compare the two situations. Hasam, in the case where somebody sold davar shaloi b'la'olam, it was a zvini, it was a sale. Hacha halvoa, since when we deal with a halva, as is the situation in our perek, we're dealing with ribis. And whenever we deal with ribis, we're much stricter. Now, the Rishonim point out that even though we've been learning that if somebody collects ribis, he has to return that ribis, that's only when it's ribis katsutza, when it's real ribis. This is certainly not a case of ribis katsutza. And since it's only avak ribis, still, since it starts off as a situation of ribis, was stricter. Other Rishonim, because of this question, actually considered this a case of ribis katsutza, which has to be returned. So we're learning now that Rav Nachman's opinion, what is the halacha about a mechila betos? By ribis, it's not considered a mechila. By a mechir, it's considered a mechila. Says the Gemara, have a yisivnik ha-meid Rav Nachman. So says Rava, I was once sitting and learning by Rav Nachman, and we were speaking about this case that about mechila b'tos, if it's a mechila, uboy la oisrei anor, and I wanted to ask a question from Hilchas Anor that we learned extensively in our previous perek, va'oidich, and Rav Nachman understood that that was the question that I wanted to ask. And Rav Nachman says, chazitin islandus. I'm going to show you from the halachas of islandus that my halacha is correct. And the Gemara explains itself. Vayroi anor. The halacha is that if somebody overcharged somebody, the halacha is you have to return the amount that was overcharged. Now, that person paid knowingly what he paid. So what do we see from here? That even though the person who paid that amount knew exactly what he was doing, the halacha is the mechila b'tos lo have a mechila. A mechila that's done an error is not a real mechila. V'oidik, and what Rava said, and Rav Nachman said, hachazita islandus. But I will show you, says Rava, from Hilchas islandus, that we will discuss in a moment, that a mechila b'tos is not a mechila. Because the halacha is, if somebody marries a woman, and then that woman turns out to be an islandus. So kedushin with an islandus is considered, an islandus is a woman that can never have children. So it turns out that that kedushin is a kedushay tos. Still, the halacha is that, as we know, a husband is entitled to eat the peiris of the nichsi melug that a wife brings into the marriage. Because, and why is he allowed to eat it, even though the marriage ends up to be a mekach tos? Because it's a mechila betos. It was a mechila in error, but still, the woman was meichel. So we see from here that even though the mechila was done in error, the woman would not agree that a husband should be allowed to eat those peiris if she's not going to remain married. Still, it was a mechila matas, have a mechila. So Gemara brings the halacha that we just quoted about mamenis, because the Gemara says, hamamenis, the halacha is that midaraisa, only a father has the right to marry off a daughter when she is a ketana. The halacha, however, is that because Chazal were concerned that in those days it was most common that girls got married very young, and since it was most common that girls got married very young, now if a girl doesn't have a father, who's going to be able to marry off this girl? So the halacha is, because of that, the halacha tells us that the mother and the brothers have the right to marry off. But even though the mother and the brothers have the right to marry her off, there are very unique halachas. And that is the halacha that until the girl is 12 years old, until she becomes a gdoila, she can be a man. The definition of a man is that she could annul the marriage and walk out of the marriage. The reason she could do so is because this kedushin is only a kedusha de rabbanon. And she can walk out and doesn't even need a get. Or a shniya. The Torah identifies women who are considered an erva, but the Torah adds, the Chazal added, shniyas. Actually, it goes back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, where they expanded the list of women one may not marry. And the reason Shlomo HaMelech did this was because Shlomo HaMelech was concerned that if they're going to be allowed to marry these women, they may come to marry women who are ervis to them. And therefore, the Gemara says, if somebody married a woman who's a shniya, and then her husband dies or divorces her, or an islandess, as we just discussed, a woman who's unable to have children, and therefore it turns out that the kedusha were mekach tos, they were really never actually married, Elohim, they are not entitled like Suba. The halacha, of course, is that a husband has to give a wife a ksuba when he divorces her or if the marriage ends because he died. The halacha is these women aren't entitled to ksuba because by Shnia, the reason is because we actually, what is the reason Chazal instituted the ksuba? Kadesh loitei kala be'ein of loitzio. It shouldn't be easy for a husband to divorce his wife. Here, we're anxious to divorce, that they should get divorced. Now, the question is, why is she being punished more than he? He's the one that doesn't have to pay the ksuba, but he, as much as she, did the aveira. So the Gemara Masecht Yevamos that Pehei Amud Beis explains, in a case where a woman knows that the repercussion of marrying a man whom she may not marry is that the children will be mamzerim, that's a situation where she doesn't want to marry such a husband. In a case like this, where since it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, so there's no deterrent, she's anxious to get married, and therefore, she's anxious and she gets him to marry her, so she gets punished that she doesn't get a ksuba, because it's all based on a woman is more anxious to be married than her husband. And islandess, because it's her fault, because she's an islandess. And by Memenis, again, she was the one that did the mian. And therefore, in all these cases, ain lohem loy ksuba, they're not entitled to ksuba, v'loy peris, that the peris that we just spoke about a moment ago, that the halacha is that the nichsi melug that a woman brings into the marriage, the principle always remains hers. The peris, the go to the husband. Here the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay back for the peris. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that Chazal instituted that he eats the peris, and in return, if she, chas v'shalom, gets kidnapped, he has to ransom her. Here, that halacha, we're not, again, looking to promote this marriage, particularly by Shnia. V'loy mezoinus, if the husband went away without leaving her a means of support, the halacha is that she is entitled to mezoinus, she's entitled to support, and she could borrow money from others, and then the husband has to pay back. Here, the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay that back. V'loy belos, a wife that brought clothing into the marriage, the halacha is that he doesn't have to give back to her when the marriage ends in this fashion. So we see from here that it was a mechila betos. She allowed her to have those payers. It was all based on an error. And even though it was based on error, the halacha is he's allowed to keep those payers. So isn't this a raya, the mechila betos, have a mechila, says the Gemara. So ano is a question on the question on the concept of mechila betos, have a mechila. And idleness is a raya, the mechila betos, have a mechila. To which the Gemara says, v'lohi, this entire point is incorrect. Loy ayna have a tiyufta. Ana is not a question. Loy ayanis misayle, and alignness is not a raya. Loy ayna tiyufta. Loy yada di isayna. When we speak about a person who paid more than he should have, we can't call that a mechila. Mechila means that you know what you're doing. He didn't know the price. Loy ayanis misayle, and ayanis is not a raya because that nichla the typical shmadishus. What do we say? That the woman, the wife, the islandess, allowed her husband to eat the peiris, even though he's not gonna. She now ends up not being married to him. Says the Gemara that a woman who's an islandess is satisfied that she should be considered a married woman, that she should have the title of a married woman, even though it's only temporarily, because until the husband finds out, once the husband finds out, he's going to divorce her. Still, that period that she was married to him, she's happy to have that title, and that's why she's ready to let him have the peiris, even though the marriage is going to end. Says the Gemara, Yitzhak Sadam Alel Hugavid, there's a woman that said to a man, Zil Zoven Li Ara Mikrevi, go buy on my behalf a piece of property from my relatives. In other words, she appointed a shliach to buy property in her from one of her relatives. Ozel Zivinlo. And this woman went and made this purchase. Amalei, but the seller told the shliach, If I will, obviously he was selling the property because he was desperate for the cash. But he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me and I'll have money, I want this deal to be able to be reversed and I'll get back my property and she'll get back her money. Of course, the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss that this is all before the kinyan was finalized. If the kinyan was finalized and then he wants to make this type of a stipulation, too late. So the halacha is, amalei, so that's what the seller stipulated, and the shliach said to him, at v'navla achli, you and the person who bought it, I bought it for, are relatives. That was an expression. And he said to them, and what he meant to say is, I'm not getting involved. If this will come up, you'll deal with your relative. Amar Rav Rav Huna, call at v'navli achi, whenever such a statement is made, sam chedete, the seller is assuming that if he will have the money, the deal will be able to be reversed. And therefore, he wasn't prepared to make this transaction without this stipulation attached to it. Says the Gemara, Arahadra. So now, since we consider this a full-fledged Tanai, a full-fledged stipulation, so if he, Baruch Hashem, has the money, then he gives back the money. And he gets back the property. But now the question is, till that happened, she was eating the peiros of that property. So ask the Gemara, so if we look at this situation, says the Gemara, we really have here a situation of ribis. For the price of her giving him money, she got the right to eat the peiros. So how does the halacha look at the situation, asked the Gemara. Ribis tzutzahava, is this considered full-fledged ribis? And if it's considered full-fledged ribis, v'yotze b'dayonim, the halacha is she's entitled to get back that ribis. Adumah, k'avak ribis hava, the halacha only views this as a vak ribis, v'en yotzen, and that the dayonim cannot force her to give back. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Barafuna, Mistabra, Kavak ribis ava. I consider this avak ribis, the ein yotz b'dayonim, and the yonim cannot make her give it back. The kainam harava, ki avak ribis ava, it's considered like avak ribis, the ein yotz b'dayonim, it doesn't have to be returned. Amma labai l'rava. So now Rabbi asked the next question. Meshkantamai. If somebody lent money to somebody else, and the borrower gave him a mashkin, gave him a collateral for the property, and there was no stipulation about what will be the status of the payers of that property. They didn't discuss what will be the property. The malva ate the payers. Now the question is that, and now the loiva pays back. Is the fact that the malva ate those payers for that entire term until he was repaid, is that considered a situation of ribis katsutso and dayonim make him give it back or not? And the Gemara explains, hasam tamamai, in the previous case, why is it not considered ribis? Mishum deloy katsutlay. They didn't make up clearly that he's going to buy back the property. Hachanami, here too, and they didn't speak about this. Hachanami, in this case as well, loy katsutlay, as we just explained, they didn't discuss what is the status of those payers? Adam Hassam, as we often say in this parak, the transaction was structured as a sale. And since it was structured as a sale, that's why there can't be ribis deraisa. Hacha, where it was structured as a halva, as a loan, then the halacha is maybe it's different, and therefore she has to give it back. Amalei. So Rava responded to Abaya, we could compare the two cases. Tamamai, why in the previous case where the seller made the stipulation, what is the reason? Tamamai mishum deloy katzlei, it wasn't discussed. Hachanami, in this case as well, loy katzlei, and that's why it's not considered ribis katsutza, and that's why it doesn't go back b'dayonim. Amara Papa, Ava Ravina Uvda, there was a situation, such a shaila that came to Ravina, v'hashiv, and Ravina calculated how much payers did the buyer eat during that duration for apik peri, and he made the buyer return the peris. And the loik Rav Bar Rav Huna, he didn't pask like Rav Bar Rav Huna. The Rav Bar Rav Huna considered this a situation of a ribis. He considered this a situation of ribis katsutsa. And if in that case, it's considered a situation of ribis katsutsa, certainly in the case of mishkanta, it will be considered a halakha of ribis katsutsa. As we've been discussing, when loans took place, it was quite frequent that a mashkin, the loiva, would give the malva a mashkin, and the malva would eat the peris of that mashkin until he was repaid. But there were many different scenarios how this was done. Some places the minig was that they had a term of the loan. At that term of the loan, the malva has the mashkin. And even if the loiva were to prepay, it wouldn't make a difference. The malva has this property, and the malva is entitled to the peiris. That's what's called asra de lemasalki, a place where you can't prepay. The loiva cannot prepay, and therefore, in such a case, under simple terms, that's not considered ribis, even if the malva is not deducting the peiris from the loan. Because since the loiva cannot prepay the loan, the way the halacha looks at this case, it's considered like a sale. That there were two things that happened here. One is that the loiva borrowed money, and the other thing is that he sold the property to the malva, and at the end of the term, he's buying back the property. In a sale, as we keep on repeating, there's no isser of ribis. There's another case of where loiva has a right to prepay the loan. As soon as he pays the loan, the malva has to return the property that he received as a mashkin. There, for sure, eating the peiris is considered a ribis. Since the loiva could always take the malva, get back the mashkin, the fact that he's eating those peiris is considered ribis. Says the Gemara. I'm a mabreder of Yosef Mishmei de Rava. Ha Mishkanta, where we have a mashkin, as we just described, but Asra de Masalka, where the loiva has the right to prepay. And therefore we say, unless it will be calculated, and the amount of payers that the malva ate, and be calculated, and affect the loan, it's considered ribis. So what's the halacha? Ochol kishir zuzi, as soon as the malva ate the amount of payers, which are equal to the amount of money the loiva owns him, Masalkinale. At that point, the loiva could say, I paid you back. I paid you back with the payris that you ate. Now I owe you nothing. Give me back my property. Ocheltfei. But let's say that Malva ate more than the value of the loan. Loimafkinale. We don't take it away because it's not considered ribis katsutsa. It's not something that we can identify. It's not something that we can identify that's the amount that he's going to get back at that point. And therefore, it's not ribis katsutsa, and therefore, he can't give back. Furthermore, lemech shvina mishtara l'shtara. Let's say the loiva owes the malva two debts. And in one of the debts, he put up this. And for one of the debts, for one of the chayvis, he put up this property as a mashkin. And as we just learned, once the malva ate the amount of payers equal to the debt, he could immediately force the loiva off. He could immediately force the malva off the property. Let's say he didn't. So the Gemara just said, whatever extra he ate belongs to him, because it's not considered ribis katsutsa, and the dayanim don't force him to pay back. However, says the Gemara, let's say the loiva owed the malva a different debt. Can that payris that the malva ate be used as a way that the loiva paid up that debt? Says the Gemara, lem chashvinin mishtara l'shtara. Each debt, each chayv is looked at independently. Obadi asmi, in a case where the havah was done on behalf, the money was borrowed on behalf of Yusaimim, and therefore the property that was put up as a mashkin, as collateral, was property that belongs to the Yusaimim. As soon as the malva ate the value of the loan, here, by Yusaimim, we are concerned about the Yusaimim, a concept that comes up often in this parak, and therefore, whatever the malva ate above the value of the loan, the payers that he ate above the value of the loan, we take away from him, and if the Yusaimim owe money from a different debt, it's also used to satisfy that obligation. Amar Vashi, if the malva ate more than the value of the debt, we don't make him pay it back. Says the Gemara, so why is the halacha if he ate the value of the debt? Why do we just make him just give back the property? My tama, what's the reason? He didn't eat those payers with the intention of using it to pay up as a way to pay up the debt, that the loiv is paying up the debt, and therefore he was eating it only on as long as he's not paid up. So why do we let him not get paid? We just take it away. Have a vak ribis. This is a situation of vak ribis because we can't know for sure when this is going to happen. We don't know how much the payers are worth. And since we don't know how much the payers are worth, it's not ribis ktsutza. Vavrik ribis, any yaitze, but dayonim. We keep on learning the halacha that since it's only a vak ribis, the halacha is that the dayonim don't make him pay back. Says the Gemara, of Rav Ashi of the Yisoyim Ketanim, there was a situation that came up with Yisoyim Ketanim, where they gave a mashkin to a malva, kigdoilim, and he treated them like adults and treated it like a vak ribis, and that the malva was not responsible to pay back for the payris that he ate until the debt was paid back. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Rava, Bereid Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava. In a place where the loiva could always pay back, so now, if that's the case, as we said in our introductory remarks, if it's a place where the loiva could prepay, the halacha is that the payris, if the malva will eat payris, it's considered ribis. So how can a malva eat those payers? The only way that he could eat it halachically is whatever payers that he eats should be deducted from the amount that's owed to him. Moreover, says the Gemara, the tzuvim rabbana atamut chacham, who has to be careful that nobody should think that he's doing the wrong thing, afilo b'nachyaisa le'nechel, should not even eat b'nachyaisa. Because people will not know what he's doing, and people will see that he's eating the payris, and they're going to think that he's eating those payris as ribis, even though it's only avak ribis, and therefore, as Rashi says, v'tzuvim rabbanon, tzorach l'yasha darkoi, tzuvim rabbanon has to be careful to do what's right, u'liskadesh af b'metaloi, and even something which is halachically permissible, he should be careful. There's a big concern that people will learn from him to do the wrong thing. And I saw that the Chassam Sofer said he would learn with his Talmidim every day Sifrei Musar. Why would he learn with him Sifrei Musar? He says, you are Talmidim in Yeshiva. You're going to be Talmid Chachamim. Since you're going to be Talmid Chachamim, I have the responsibility to make sure that you will do what's right. And the only way I can be sure that you're going to do what's right is if you're going to learn Sifrei Musar. And I saw that they once asked the Gra, what's going to be halacha if somebody has only 30 minutes a day to learn? What should he learn in that time? And the Gra said he should learn Musar in that time. So they asked him, yes, we're learning that Musar is very important, but if this person is so limited with his time and he only has 30 minutes to learn, shouldn't he spend that 30 minutes learning something else? So the Gra said, somebody who spends 30 minutes a day learning Musar will discover that he has much more than 30 minutes to learn. Says the Gemara, Elba Mai Nechel. So now the question is, if it's a place where the loiva could asr the salki, would the loiva could prepay? And if, of course, the loiva could prepay, the loch is that he can't eat the peiris of the mashkin. So ask the Gemara, but my Nechel, how can he get a mashkin and eat peiris? Says the Gemara, b'kitzusa, which the Gemara is going to explain in a moment. Ask the Gemara, according to the Mandama, that Ketsusa is a legitimate approach. So now we gave him an option. Ela Mandama Ketsusa Esura, according to Mandama, Ketsusa is not a legitimate approach. We're back to our original question. My Ikalamemer, what is the option? Ditmer, because says the Gemara, we actually learned Ketsusa when we speak about a Ketsusa. Pligabar of Acharavina. It's the subject of Machlokes of Acharavina. Charama, one of them's opinion was the Ketsusa Sharia, and the other one holds Ketsusa Sura. The Rishonim debate, when the Gemara here says Ketsusa Sura, according to the Mandama that holds Ketsusa Sura, what does that mean? Does it mean that Ketsusa, this opinion holds, is also for everyone? Or does this opinion hold that Ketsusa is only Osef Talmid HaChachamim? And the purpose of our Gemara is to try to find a way that a Talmud Chacham can have a Mashkin. And according to this, that Ketsusa doesn't work for Talmid HaChachamim, he's left without an option. So Gemara explains, Hey Chidami Ketsusa, exactly what is Ketsusa? Damalei, where the Malva tells the Loiva, At Chamishinin, for the first 5 years after the loan, I'm going to eat without deducting what I eat from what you owe me. After that time, everything I eat will be deducted. And since it's not always going to be a case where I'm going to eat and not deduct what I eat from the loan, that's why it's not considered ribbis. The Ritva says that the Gemara here is speaking about a case, Ba'asru de la Misalka. Other Rishonim say it's talking about Asru de Misalka. Says the Gemara, Ikadamri, that the Ikadamri disagrees. And Ikadamri holds, Kol b'loy n'chiyaisa. Whenever the Malva eats without deducting, Osur. It's Osur. What is the Ketsusa that we have in Machloikus? The Amalei, where the Malva tells the Loiva, at Chameshanin, for the first 5 years, Achilna Menachyaisa, I'm going to eat and deduct. Mikave Eilach, after 5 years, Shamina Loch Lekule Peri, I'm going to deduct from the amount that it ate. So even though the first 5 years he took off, so he's always deducting. So since he's always deducting, it doesn't look like ribbis. So what's the difference between the first 5 years and the second after the first 5 years? The answer is very simple. During the first 5 years, they make up a fixed amount, how much will be deducted. And since they make up a fixed amount, how much will be deducted, that's considered that it's not ribbis, only, and therefore it's mutter. Says the Marmanda also bekamaisa, the mandam that says that the first description of nechiaisa is osur, he will perhaps hold shari besraisa, the second description where it's always what the mouth is eating from the mashkin is always being deducted, so it's not ribbis. But says the Gemara, Manda also besraisa, the mandam that says that in the second case it's osur, that's considered Ketsusa, that's osur, because he may end up eating more peiris than the value of the loan. So then there's certainly the first case where he's eating for years. It's certainly going to be a case of ribis. So we're back to our question, Hechishar L'machel, where, what is the case where Talmud Chochem, Tzorvim Rebbonin, could have mashkin? Answers the Gemara, Sharikim Mashkanta Desura. The type of mashkanta that's mutter in all situations in mashkanta Desura. The Ksibei Hachi, the way the deal was structured, the Mishle Shnein Elin, when the term of the loan is up, Tepik Ar Double Kesef. You'll get back your piece of property. So in other words, they made a deal. It's not a halva. It's a transaction where the malva is taking a chance. And he's saying, I'm buying from you this piece of property for a certain amount of years. And during those years, I'm going to get the payers. It may be, at the end of the day, that he'll do well. That the payers were worth more than what he gave the loiva. At the end of the day, it may be that he didn't do well and that the payers will be worth less than what he gave the loiva. So this is not the structure of a halva. This is the structure of a mechira, of a sale. And when it's in the structure of a mechira, not a halva, of course it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ravuna Ber Yeshua, Amri Tavayu, Hai Mashkanta, when we have a mashkim, Astra the Masalki, we're in a place where the loiva could always pay off the loan, could always prepay the malva, and the malva will have to leave the property. So, therefore, the property is not considered in the possession of the malva, and therefore, if the malva owes somebody money, the malva owes somebody money, and we know that if somebody's owed money, you could collect from the property of the person who owes money, this property is not considered the property of the malva, and therefore his bal chayiv can't collect from him. And the halacha is that a bechor, when a father dies, gets a double shear. This is not considered real property that's owned by the malva, that his bechor should get pishnayim in it. The halacha is that the shmita comes before the loan was paid up, and there was no prosbel made. And the halach is that Shemitah cancels all loans. The halach is that it's not that this loan will be canceled. It's not considered as if it was paid because the malva has the property, says the Gemara. However, ba'asu d'loy misalki, and therefore the malva is allowed to be on this property until the time that he's entitled to. Ba'choyv goyvim menu, it is considered the property of the Bal Chayiv, and since it's considered the property of the Bal Chayiv, of the Malva, the Bal Chayiv has the Lacha, the Goyva Mimenu, B'chor Noit P'shnayim, Ben Shmiyis M'shamtasa, and the Lacha is that Shmiyis will not cancel this loan, because he was really paid with this. V'ma Mazutra, M'shmeid Rapapa, Hai M'shkanta Ba'as the Masalki, in a place where the Loiva could choose to pay off when the loan whenever he wants, Masalkele, the malva could be removed from this property. Even if there are dates that are already on the mats that the malva took off the tree, since he didn't do a kinyan in taking ownership of those dates, they're not considered his. And the loiva pays back and takes back even those tomorrow. However, if the malva made a kinyan in those tomorrow, Keninu, they become his. However, comments the Gemara. Ulamanda Omer, Kalev Shlokeach, Mershus Moichakana, that if the buyer's Kalim are in the property of the seller, it become, as soon as something is in those Kalim, they become his. I feel like Ignabasinini, even if he didn't make a Kenyan, but the fact that they are in his Kalim, it's enough that they should be continued, they should become the malvas, and the loiva, when even though he prepays, is not entitled to that. Pshita, says the Gemara further, Ba'asr de Masalki, in a place where the loiva says, I'm paying you back. V'amen the malva says, Loimus dalkana, I'm not giving, and the malva tells the loiva, Loimus dalkana, I'm giving you the money with the stipulation that even though the minig in this place, the custom here is that you could prepay, I'm lending you the money with a stipulation that you may not do so. So when the loiver wants to prepay, it's not accepted. That was the deal. El asad lemasalka, in a place where the loiver cannot prepay. Vama, and he said, mistalken. The malva said to the loiver, if you'll prepay me, no problem. Mai, do we say tzorch lemikneminei? In order for that to have any meaning, there had to be a kinyan. And if there was no kinyan, the words are meaningless. Oiloi. Rapapa maloi tzorch lemikneminei. The kinyan is not required. What they agree to is adequate. Rav Shesh Breder of Edi Omar Tzorch Lemikmenei. Nothing is valid without a kinyan. Vilchus Tzorch Lemikmenei. Omar, says the Gemara. So now in a place where the loiva has the right to prepay, if the loiva tells the malva, Ezel Veise Zuzi, I'm coming to pay you up, at that point, Loyochel, the malva is no longer entitled to eat from the payers of the mashkin. If the loiva said to the malva, Ezel Veetrich Veise Zuzi, I'm going to go find money, but he doesn't actually have the money to pay him up yet. Ravina Mach, the Malva is still entitled to eat. You know, saying that I'm going to try to do it doesn't mean anything. Mazut Reider Mari Amaloyachel, that he starts to stop. The fact that he's looking to pay him up, and the Miri answers, the Miri says, just saying I want to pay you, of course, is not enough. He has to say, Hareni Machs Achamos, I'm looking to get money. It's not just that I'm looking to pay you. We're all looking to pay off our obligations. He's saying, I'm bringing the money. And still, even though he didn't bring the money, but he says, I'm going to, that's enough. Moreover, if he says, I'm going to bring you the money today, and he ends up not bringing the money, then the malva is allowed to eat. Hilchasud, but Alocha, guess with the Meiri's point that the loiva says I'm going to pay you and I'm bringing the money today is considered enough of a statement that he's paying off the loan, and at that point the malva no longer is entitled to the payers of that mashkin.